This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Both public health and private campaign efforts have aimed at reducing the number of infant deaths in Milwaukee due to co-sleeping. But the problem has not gone away. Babies still die, and research by UW-Milwaukee nursing professor Jennifer Deering indicates at least a quarter of the women she's studied are still co-sleeping with their infants. So in tackling the challenge of co-sleeping deaths, Deering decided to take another tactic, devising a device that would keep an infant safe in a co-sleeping situation. To do that, she enlisted the help of engineering professor Nara Campbell-Kerrigan. The result is something called the Infant Sleep Pod. It's one of the ideas spotlighted in the current Milwaukee magazine, and Deering and Campbell-Kerrigan are with us in the studio to talk about the device and the underlying issue. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nara Campbell-Kerrigan, I want to start with you. Most of your work is related to making work environments safer. This is seemingly a slightly different task in front of you, but let me ask you, this work on the infant sleep pod, how is it like the work you have done in the past, and how is it different?
Mitch, as you mentioned, my background is in engineering, with emphasis on biomechanics and injury prevention and rehabilitation. So basically, I perform research into why injuries or fatalities occur and the tolerance of the body to different types of forces. So when Jennifer actually came up with the idea, the sleep pod idea came to mind, and I personally view it as a personal protective equipment used in similar to those that we use in workplaces and households. We have rules in industry intended to promote safety, but we still require a worker to wear protective equipment since accidents happen unintentionally. In the same way, we wear sport protective equipment, even though there are rules to try to reduce those injuries. It just makes sense to use all available means to provide protection. So
this is like the idea that you're not supposed to be hit in the head in football, but there's still a good reason to wear a football helmet.
Absolutely.
And this was just a brand new idea for me. You know, I know I sort of knew about it, but to bring that idea of looking at the environmental safety from multiple avenues, not just in eliminating the hazard, but in reducing the hazard itself, was absolutely groundbreaking. And so one of the things that I'm doing is to try to advance this idea to make a space for this device to exist in the national conversation about reducing deaths related to unsafe sleep environments. Because the idea of personal protective equipment, I realized, you know, with regards to infant mortality, it also is a new idea, but we adapt other environments to babies' needs. For instance, car seats. You know, we don't put a baby into a car, which is an adult environment, without personal protective equipment, and a car seat is PPE for babies. So why wouldn't we do that in a sleep environment as well?
And maybe this is outside the realm of your expertise, but I'm interested to get your take on it anyway. Why hasn't that been part of the national conversation before?
I think part of the reason is because the approach of eliminating co-sleeping and of asking parents to place their babies on their backs always for sleep was quite effective. That approach has reduced the incidence of SID by 53% since 1992 when we started asking parents to place their babies on their back to sleep. So there's been great effectiveness with all that effort. So we were hoping that we could get that death rate down to zero, but we've realized now that because since about 2005, there's been a leveling off of the SIDS rates, and so we're just not getting much bang for our buck, so to speak. We're putting more and more effort into the issue, but we're not reducing the death rate, which to me indicates that we need a new approach.
The point of diminishing returns we've hit.
Exactly. And the other sort of avenue for why this might not have occurred before is because we just may not have had the technology and the materials to create what we can create today for the cost, you know, for a low-cost product.
Well, so let's talk about the technology and the materials. What does this infant sleep pod look like, and what is it made of that makes it such a practical solution?
So the main reasons why babies die in co-sleeping environments is a parent may overlay, they may roll onto the baby, or maybe their limb ends up, you know, falling on the baby's face or whatnot, and they don't realize it. So that's one reason. The pod will actually keep the parent from physically overlaying the baby.
It's large enough that you wouldn't be able to roll on top of it.
Exactly, and firm enough. And then another main reason babies die is because a blanket or a pillow falls on top of their face and they're not able to communicate that, and then they rebreathe the CO2 and perish. So the pod has a face protection bridge, which would then enable a blanket to be placed on the pod accidentally, and it will actually protect the baby's the space around the baby's face. In addition to, it'll have sensors which will alarm when these events occur.
Is this typically how your work, Dr. Campbell, takes place? As an engineer, someone approaches you from a different academic discipline and says, we have this problem we need to solve, and you take it from there essentially?
Our team works extensively with different industries and with government to provide different training intended to help workers to avoid injury, but also assist management with developing programs, including purchasing this PPE or selection of PPE and testing of PPE to reduce injuries. So we view this example as basically another application. I would like also to add that today UWM administration actively encourages collaboration and the development of new ideas and opportunities, even in those situations like engineering and nursing, where people didn't generally think there was much overlap. There is a recognition that collaboration is not only good for faculty and their research, but that students benefit greatly from this as well.
Co-sleeping deaths are not just a problem in low-income areas, but they may be certainly disproportionately represented in low-income areas. So where does cost come in? Was it important to be able to design this in a way that once you scale up, it'll be something that someone can afford to buy at a store?
Cost and shelf cost have been instrumental from the beginning. In fact, that is one of the criteria that we gave the students who worked on this in fall in their product realization class, is to say, you've got to be able to make this for a shelf price of $50 or less. And that caused quite some consternation because they can't just go out and work with the most necessarily cutting-edge things or brand-new things. They have to look at what exists and how can we be innovative with the technology that is less expensive and whatnot. So we're trying to make the pod for something that will be reasonable for people to afford, yet provide all the safety that is possible out of the product.
Are you at the point where you're looking at patents and intellectual property and licensing this to companies that would be presumably the university is not in a position to scale up and manufacture something like this. So where is it in the scale of development?
So the UWM Research Foundation has applied for a provisional patent on our behalf to protect the idea. And then the second step in the process is to apply for a provisional patent. You have 1 year to do that, collect the data that you need to make the claims that you seek to make. Getting a patent would be wonderful, but getting it on the shelves is really what's necessary, because you can have a patent, but it's still just a piece of paper on a shelf, as opposed to the pod being out there and saving lives.
The idea is not to invent this and retire off the profits.
No, we have a lot of ideas for moving it forward into the future.
Do you hope to depoliticize the level of debate about co-sleeping deaths? Is that one of your goals?
This is a great question. I think the availability of the sleep pod will not lead to increase in co-sleeping. Instead, it is just a recognition that education and rules cannot totally eliminate the problem. For example, we provide extensive driver training and education and have laws about safe driving. But we still equip cars with seat belts, with airbags and anti-lock breaks because we know that we cannot totally eliminate accidents. In the same way, it is clear that we cannot totally eliminate co-sleeping.
Anytime a baby dies, it is a terrible tragedy, not just for the families, but for the community and for our society. And especially in these cases, it is completely preventable. With our current approaches, we will not get that death rate down to zero, I believe. And so we have to have new approaches. And I really hope that this innovation is the first of many and that we start to develop a cluster for doing research and policy work around this area of infant mortality so that this work sort of spills into multiple areas of infant mortality.
Is this the first time you've gone down the road of collaborating with engineering?
With engineering, yes, it is. I've collaborated with many professionals and other health disciplines and whatnot, but this is the first time, and it's just been fabulous. Now that I've gotten sort of into the engineering world and seeing how nursing and engineering can benefit each other, it seems like we can help each other move both of our research agendas and work forward faster than sitting there struggling with an issue. An engineer can solve my problem very quickly, and I can solve an engineer's problem very quickly because I can say, well, that's obviously not going to work because I have hundreds, if not thousands of hours with patients saying this is going to work or it's not. So it can really, I think, catalyze innovation more quickly.
And as an engineer, were there unique challenges or unique opportunities that you saw in working with the nursing program?
I worked with nurses for many years, so Jennifer is not my first nurse collaborator. And I always enjoyed this combination because they bring problems from real life. That's what's most fascinating.
Well, and I want to go back to something you said because, Jennifer Deering, you were kind of listing all the various dangers that are possible when an adult co-sleeps with a baby. And what seems significant about your approach is it doesn't remove those factors. Rather, it protects the infant from those factors.
I think it is pretty good way to put it because in this case, parent him or herself puts the hazard on baby. And it looks like there were a lot of administrative controls implemented over years and education and training. And we still have babies who die. And we know from the hazard control hierarchy that there is another option, that is personal protective equipment. And that was basically what initiated this whole idea that we need to protect baby from parent.
So to go back to the car analogy, this is like knowing that there are road hazards out there and saying, okay, we're going to put seat belts in the car because sometimes bad things happen when you're driving a car, even when you're setting out to be safe.
Parents don't kill their babies intentionally. At least we hope it is not the case. It happens because they're tired, because certain circumstances force them to place baby in their bed. So it is unintentional hazard. It happens usually while parent is asleep, and they don't feel what happens.
Sleep is a period of altered consciousness. So to expect somebody to be vigilant and conscious and make conscious decisions is not reasonable. We know from research that about 60% of parents will sleep with their baby in a bed, on a couch, in a recliner at some point during that first year of that baby's life, whether it's intentional or unintentional. And what happens is even when parents have the good intention of never sleeping with their baby next to them, if they unintentionally fall asleep, they still incur all the hazards, 100% of the hazards to their baby by accidentally co-sleeping.
Well, Jennifer Deering and Naira Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jennifer Deering is an associate professor in the College of Nursing at UW-Milwaukee. Naira Campbell-Kerrigan is an associate professor in the Department of Industrial and Manufacturing Engineering at UWM. They're collaborators on a project called the Infant Sleep Pod, which is in the development stage. You can read more about it from a link at wuwm.com/legeffect. It's another renaissance of sorts for Milwaukee's Third Ward. We'll find out what's behind the latest resurgence in that area from Business Journal reporter Stacey Vogel-Davis when Lake Effect comes your way after a break on Milwaukee Public Radio.